1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Easier said than done, right? We have to learn to think spiritually. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliot to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
Christ, with all the ardor of his divine nature, brought the holy will of his Father to the world. And what happened? The unthinkable. Christ was accused of being a seducer, a criminal, a glutton, and a wine bibber. So the will of God appears most frail when it wills what is most holy. The will of God appears most frail when it wills what is most holy. It seems that the will of God can be obstructed by man. And here we are up against one of these incomprehensible mysteries. Because God has given us a will to choose to do his will, he will not invade that. He is not going to coerce us. He will not bamboozle us into doing what we don't want to do. He is going to call us. He's going to stand at the door and knock in most ineffable courtesy. But he will not barge through that door. All can be obstructed by man. And God's intention does not seem to be realized. It looked as though Jesus was coming as a triumphant king. Of course, it didn't look that way in his birth. But later on, that was the way he was hailed, and the people expected him to be a king. The will of God for you and me is a command by which we will be judged. And the meaning, and here's a clue to this insoluble mystery, the meaning of all existence is going to be fulfilled only through grace. Grace, that amazing grace that saved wretches like you and me. But to do the will of God is the responsibility of you and me. And it is the solemn majesty of God. And the Bible tells us that Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. Have you thought about the fact that when he got tired and had to sit down by a well, that pleased the Father? And that when he sought to bring the people to believing in him and to give his Father's word, and they mocked him, he was still pleasing the Father. It is a costly faith, a necessary part of our probation, that we should be puzzled and grief-stricken and even scandalized. It is a costly faith and a necessary part of our probation that we should be puzzled, grief-stricken, and even scandalized. Jesus said, offenses must come. And there's that mystery of the necessity and the will of God and the necessity of man's freedom. God didn't have to create you and me with the freedom to choose, did he? He could have created us as he created the winds and the tides and the planets and the comets, which do exactly what God wants them to do all the time. They never do anything else. My husband and I can see the tide come up on Massachusetts Bay, and I have a little card on my desk that tells me exactly the minute when high tide will be that day. And it happens precisely at that minute. And of course, it's a different minute every day. And it goes down at precisely the right minute. So the winds and the tides and the clams and the hippopotamuses and the bird lice and all the rest of it, they do exactly what God created them to do. But you and I don't, do we? We have been given the liberty to disobey him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that mysterious? And yet he wanted a creature that was capable of choosing to love him. His eye is on the sparrow, And the sparrow has his job to do, and God loves the little sparrow. But I also know that he watches me. My great Bible teacher, Mr. L.E. Maxwell at Prairie Bible Institute in Canada, told us that he grew up in a non-Christian home. And he said, my mother taught me exactly 4 words out of the scripture, and that is all. We never read the Bible, we never prayed, we never sang any hymns, but he said, I remembered those words that my mother taught me, thou, God, seest me. Thou, God, seest me. I know he watches me. And what is he seeing when he watches me? Is he seeing one who is at peace, one who has a quiet heart, or is he seeing one frantic and helpless? I do want to keep a quiet heart. My grandson, my oldest grandson, Walter D. Shepherd III, went last September to spend 6 months with his great uncle, Bert Elliott. Bert is Jim Elliott's older brother and has been a missionary in Peru for 45 years, a wonderfully godly man. And both he and his wife have cancer, and everybody's been saying to them, you must go back to the States. And they said, what's the use of going back to the States? They can't heal cancer in the States either, so we're just going to stay right here as long as the Lord lets us. And they have been faithfully working for the Lord. For many, many years, they spent 6 months out of every year on the jungle rivers in a launch, and the other 6 months in the high, very, very cold Andes, traveling by camper. So it was two extremes, extreme heat in the jungle, extreme cold in the high Andes, and there was hardly ever a time that they were alone. The Lord never gave them any children. And they had prayed and prayed for children and prayed about the possibility of adoption, which would have been very easy in Peru. But God's answer to that was no. And they felt that they could not possibly have done the work that they were doing, the itinerant work, if God had given them children. So for all those years, up until about 5 years ago, they were doing that itinerant work. They now live in a city called Trujillo on the coast of Peru. And so Walter went down to spend 6 months under his great uncle's spiritual tutelage, as it were, not in any formal way, but just to be there and to learn from him and to sort out some of the decisions that he wants to make about his life. And he is a Christian. He had finished 2 years of college, and he was learning Spanish, teaching English as a second language, and helping Bert with construction and things like that. Well, he also had a cousin in Bolivia, so at the end of his stay with his uncle, he made a trip down to Bolivia to visit his cousin. And the facts informed us that on his way, either down there or coming back, I guess it must have been coming back, he was mugged and robbed twice, once with a knife at his throat. And of course, that was an occasion when I had to remember, let not your heart be troubled. A grandmother's heart just breaks over something like that. Here's this dear boy, and he lost virtually everything. As far as we can tell, he lost everything except what he had on. They took his passport, but somehow or other they didn't get his money. I presume he had that in a money belt or something. But all the pictures that he had taken during his 6 months, which he was so eager to show to his family when he got home, were in that suitcase, whatever it was, and I don't know what all else he lost, but he told us that he still had his shoes and he still had his coat, but it was kind of tough not to have any clean underwear. And you can imagine all the thoughts that went through my mind, but the facts was a wonderful testimony of the spiritual strides that that boy has made in these 6 months. Because he immediately turned to the Lord, recognizing that it was God that allowed this to happen. And God had a good reason for that. And he even went into some rather obscure passages in 2 Samuel, I think it was. I had to go and look it up myself, and then I remembered that I had marked that very passage myself because it is one of the more unexplainable passages in Scripture where David was being cursed, I think it was, and someone wanted to protect him by getting rid of the person that was doing the cursing. And David said, no, the Lord has told him to curse me. You're to leave him alone. And so Walter's response, or his idea, is, well, maybe the Lord actually told them to mug me so that I would learn these lessons. And he talked about, in his facts, he talked about Job and how Job had suffered far, far greater losses than anything he had, what with all his camels and his servants and his lands and his flocks and his children. And Job did not charge God with evil. The mystery of the will of God. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. These tender words I hear.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.